This is Doug Miller. You know, when you take an oath and say, I will do so and so, you had better be careful. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back with you one more time with the Bible in hand to sit before this microphone and talk to you and know indeed that the Word of God is going out, and it is going out with power, not because of anything that we in Dialogue can do in and of ourselves, but because God has promised that. It's His Word. It is His Holy Spirit, and He is the one, indeed, who assures that this word will not return to Him void. We are in the 23rd chapter of Acts, and so bring your Bibles, come along, open up. We will begin at verse 12 today, and I think you will find it very interesting and very profitable. Why not call a friend and tell them to listen in, too? All right, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far as we can get it out there, to as many as we can get it out to. And to this end, we absolutely require and beg for and plead for the support of our listeners. Without your prayers, without your word of mouth, without your getting behind us and helping us, we cannot really do much of anything. And I mean that. I think sometimes that the people of God do not understand fully or fully appreciate the power of prayer. Just to pray, just to get before the Lord Almighty and ask Him in the behalf of Dialogue to give us grace. I beg you for your support in this. And, of course, as I often say, and I always say, we would love to hear from you. It is very encouraging to us to get letters from listeners, to know that you're there, that you're praying for us, to know where you are, to answer any questions that you might have, to be able to help you in any way that we can with absolutely no strings attached. That's the way we do it at Dialogue, and by the grace of God, that's the way we will go on doing it. Therefore, write to us. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, if you wish to email, our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Our webpage, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. And, of course, on the web page, you can pull up broadcasts and listen to them. You can do all sorts of neat things, you know, read about Dialogue, so on and so forth. If you wish to call and talk to me, be glad to talk to you. But you know by now, if you listen to us very carefully, that I don't have any secretary, not going to have one, not going to spend that kind of money that we could be putting back into the broadcasts. So what you'll get is a recording. The telephone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405 503-590-9089. Now, once again, you'll get a recording, and I will get back with you. And I want to say something about that in a minute. There is an individual, I'll say something about it right now. There's an individual out there that I owe an apology to. I could name him, but I won't. He called, left a message. I always say, I'll get back with you. And unfortunately, I inadvertently deleted the message, and I don't know what the number is to get back to him with now. Well, there you are. Just put me down as stupid, but that's exactly what I did, and I apologize to that individual. So, there you are. Now, of course, the sad part about it is, as you probably know, we have a delay here. I'm recording these messages, and they're going to be played later, so by the time this message gets out there, I'm sure this guy is going to be very discouraged and upset. Well, this is the best I can do. Sorry about that. Another little delayed message. For those of you who were unable to make the conference, we had indeed a very good, a very profitable conference. I'm sorry that there weren't that many of you were not able to be there, but that's the way it works. That's live in the fast lane, as they say. We are going to get the messages up on the web page. So just keep watching. And we will get them up there presently, and you can, you know, pull those down and listen to them. And I think you will agree that it was a profitable conference, and you should have been there, but that's all I have to say about that. All right, enough of this. Let's get into the Word of God. In Acts 23, verse 12, we have a group, a certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul, and they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. Now, in the first place, you know, if you are going to take an oath about something, you had better be careful. There is a statement back in the Old Testament. It's in chapter 30 of Numbers, the book of Numbers. This is the Mosaic Law now, and it's verse 2, and it simply says this: if a man swear an oath unto the Lord, or bind his soul to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, but he shall do according to all which proceedeth out of his mouth. All right, that's about as clear as God could make it. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word, he shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. Now, the entire chapter 30 of Numbers is actually dealing with this business of taking oaths or swearing oaths or so on or so forth. If you read just a little farther over in Numbers 32, you will also read this. Now, this is one of those verses that gets quoted a lot. And I can remember one time I was standing around after Sunday school, and a group of us were talking, and what we were talking about specifically is things that people think are in the Bible but are not. And one of them said, well, what about cleanliness is next to godliness? My mother and father used to always tell me that was in the Bible. No, that's not in the Bible. I think that is Benjamin Franklin from Poor Richard's Almanac. So, and there are a lot of things like that that get quoted. I heard one of our esteemed members of Congress recently saying, as it says in the Bible, such and such. And of course, she was showing her ignorance by saying this. What she said was not in the Bible at all. And someone pointed it out and said, that's not in the Bible. Well, she said, my priest said that it was. Well, your priest, madam, knows no more about it than you do, does he? Okay. This happens all the time. I saw a famous movie star on TV recently, and she was, again, quoting from the Bible, as it says in the Bible. Well, another movie star who was sitting right there beside her, whose father happened to have been a minister, called her hand on it and said, "That's not in the Bible." "Well, yes, it is." "No, it's not," he said. And he was, of course, absolutely right. Well, I was standing around talking to these ladies, and one of them said, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. And another one said, well, there's another one that people are always talking about and saying and quoting it from the Bible, and it's not in the Bible. I said, "What's that?" She said, "Be sure your sin will find you out." And I said, "My good woman, allow me to disabuse you of that notion. That is in the Bible. And here it is, Numbers 32, verse 23. All right. If ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Well, this, too, in many ways has much to do with taking oaths and saying, you know, and what had happened in this case was that a group of people in one of the half-tribes that decided not to go across the Jordan River said, we will go across the Jordan armed before our brethren, and we will fight until they have their possession in hand, and only then will we come back into our possession. All right, said Moses, you said you would do it. Now you had better do it, because if you don't do it, you have sinned against the Lord. Now this business of taking oaths and swearing that you will do certain things. You know, the Lord Jesus said, do not swear at all, neither by earth beneath, by heaven above. You can go back and read exactly what he said in the Sermon on the Mount. James repeats this in so many words in his little letter, do not swear. Now, you know, why? Well, I'll tell you why. I'll give you the same reason the Lord Jesus said it. If you have to take an oath, if you have to back up what you are saying with an oath, why? There's no compelling reason why. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. If you tell me you're going to do something, that should be enough. You shouldn't have to back up your words with an oath. And if you have to back up your words with an oath, it makes me think, well, maybe I can't trust this guy. Maybe this guy is not to be believed. If he is honest, why isn't his yes or his no sufficient? You remember when Peter was standing outside the high priest's residence and a little girl came up to him? You can read about it back in the Gospels, in the Gospel of Matthew. And the others, a little girl came up to him and said, weren't you with Jesus of Nazareth? Peter said, no. I wasn't. I don't know him. She said to him a second time, I'm sure you were one of his followers. No, said Peter angrily. Finally, one of the men there said, you are indeed one of this Jesus's followers. You're a Galilean. I can tell by your accent. And the third time, Peter began to curse and to swear and say, I don't know the man. Now, don't be mistaken about this. Don't you be mistaken about it. Peter was not using profanity. It would have been better for him if he had been. It was much more serious than anything like that. If he had been using profanity, then we could say, well, you know, that's kind of impolite, and it's not socially acceptable, and it's not nice to talk that way, and nice people don't say those sorts of things. But, you know, profanity, that's, you know, not nice, but that's the end of it. What Peter was doing, and it's very clear from the Greek, Peter was invoking a curse on himself. He was swearing by one higher than him and invoking a curse on himself if this were not the truth. Now, you know, if I wanted to, right over the air here, I could give you my idea of what I think he was saying, but I can tell you that he was swearing probably by God Almighty. So help me God. And he was invoking a curse on himself and on his soul. Now, what does this tell you about Peter? Peter was lying. He was lying like a cheap watch, and he knew very well that he was. Now, this is serious, serious business. And, of course, the Lord told him this was what he was going to do. Now, here was a man that, you know, he thought he understood himself, but he didn't. I want you to look at these Jews here. Now, these guys get into a lot of trouble. They get into trouble big time because they invoke a curse on themselves. We will neither eat nor will we drink until we have killed Paul. There were 40 of them. Well, they didn't kill Paul, as we will see. And I don't know what happened to this curse they put on themselves, but I know what the Lord said. If a man bow a vow unto the Lord or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. To not do it was to sin against the Lord. Here were individuals. Now, I don't know about you, but after about one day with no water, this kid is not going to feel very good. One day without food, and I will be pretty hungry. Here are guys. And actually, we read here, there were 40 of them. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse, that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now, therefore, ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him. Now, look at these guys. This is verse 13 back there earlier, characterizes this whole thing as a conspiracy. That's exactly what it was. And here they are binding themselves with this oath, and immediately they get busy lying and conniving. Here are individuals. And I can almost guarantee you, because look, the high priest is in on it, and the chief captains and the council. Well, it doesn't say the high priest here. I put that in, but it doesn't say that. But it's the chief captain. And they did say to the chief priests and the elders. They told them what they were doing. Now, here are individuals. You know, the Lord told his disciples, the day is coming when those that kill you will think they're doing God a service. They are willing to lie and to murder and to kill in the name of their, quote, religion, unquote. Is that how serious they are about this? Yes, they are, and they are mistaken. They're not doing God's work. God's work does not have to be sustained with lies and conspiracy and conniving. And in this case, of course, Paul is the one who's doing the Lord's work. And these individuals who think that they are helping God by what they are doing are simply deceived. Well, let's see what happens here. In verse 16, Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait. Now, this is Paul's nephew. And he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. Now, once again, Paul, as we saw earlier, has informed these individuals. They know that Paul's a Roman citizen. They know that as a Roman citizen, Paul has certain rights. They know that they, the Romans, are the ones who have authority over him and who are it is their responsibility to see that his rights are not violated. And if anything happens to Paul, who's responsible? Well, it's them. They are the ones. And it's not unusual then, I think, to see Paul. You go back and read in the book of Romans, in the 13th chapter of Romans, where Paul says, you know, to all believers, obey the law. Be lawful. You know, the chief magistrate, the king, the leaders, the rulers, pray for them. And to the extent that you can do it without, you know, going against the will of the Lord, you ought to be a law-abiding person, because after all, God's way is not anarchy. God has their governments and authorities in this world, and these are for our good. And Paul certainly, he had better be happy that these Romans have got him in hand, or he would be dead. He would have long since been killed. And that's a simple fact. Well, he took him in verse 18 and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. Let's read on. Then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is it that thou hast to tell me? And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee tomorrow, that thou wouldest bring Paul tomorrow into the council, as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. But do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. So the chief captain let the young man depart and charged him, see thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me. All right, cat's out of the bag. The Romans now know about this. Now, once again, I want you to see how religion works. I don't like religion. I learned something a long time ago about religion. Religion can always be counted on to behave in ways like this. That is why, you know, Christianity, the word religion is used, so far as I know, only one place in the New Testament, and it's in James's little letter, and where he talks about the true religion. But Christianity and Christians, I personally think, should not be thinking of themselves or of their faith as a religion. Rules, laws, regulations. Look at this. How much violence is in the world today because of religion? Because people think their religion has somehow been violated or slighted or slandered. I mean, there are a whole host of people out there who will cut your throat in a minute, and I mean that very literally, if they feel that you have dishonored their religion. And that's exactly what these individuals are doing with Paul. They will kill him without any hesitation. Well, let me ask you, how do you feel about these things? I hope you have paid close attention. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.